Well, happy Mother's Day. You know, I got to say this, when they do that last song, I get this visual in my mind of Jesus kind of like sitting on a stump, and we're just kind of gathered around and singing that to Him. I don't know if anybody else gets that picture, but just being with Him and just adoring Him. And so I hope you took some time this week, and I hope you take time every week to adore Jesus and enjoy Him. We talk about serving Him, which certainly should be the case, and we talk about walking with Him, which certainly should be the case, but also take time to adore Him and treasure Him. It'll just mean so much to you. So, having said that, I don't know why I usually on days like this say that I don't do typical Mother's Day messages, and this probably won't be either, but I wanted to share something with you. As I was combing through some scripture and combing through some things and reading some articles, and I just wanted to encourage your moms today. If you're a mom in the place, will you just raise your hand? Your mom, thank you very much for being here. Doug raised his hand, but I don't know why. But anyway, I'm just picking. So anyway, thank you so much for being moms. That is a task that I know a man couldn't do. I'm the only one. So anyway, in so many ways. But anyway, moms, you are great. God has put you in that position. I got to thinking how I wanted to start this today. And, you know, I go back to Psalm 139 a lot. God put us together. He set us together in our mother's womb. And I got to thinking last night about that particular scripture that God made you a woman. He designed you. He knitted you together. He made you a woman. And He made you for a purpose. He made you for a reason. Now, I want to say something about all women kind of versus men kind of thing. Women have a nurturing spirit in them, do they not? I mean, they really do. They nurture, even when it's not their kids, right? They are naturally, I don't know if I can say this all in one sentence, they are naturally nurturers, okay? That they nurture, and that's just a beautiful thing. And God made you that way. And it's just an evidence of who God is. And so I got to thinking, you know, He specifically designed you. He made you. If you have kids, He gave you those kids. He didn't just look on rack 138 and say, I'll just chunk this one to this one. And He designed your kid for you. For you. And that's just an amazing. I just want to give you a picture of how huge God is. He gave you the exact kid. If you got stepchildren, adopted children, He brought those kids into your life for a reason and for a purpose. I don't know, is there any moms in here ever thought at any point in time, like, what's the use? Anybody? Okay, we got two. You ever get exhausted? Yes, you do. But guys, don't give up. And I know you don't. Press forward, because God has something. Even in the times when it looks like it's just hopeless, don't give up. God has purpose. And He's using you. So the point I wanted to make is, you are uniquely made as a mom. God created you as a mom. God created you as a female. He created you as a nurturer. God did that for a reason and for a purpose. And so give Him thanks for that. Now, having said that, what should a mom do? And I got to reading this article, and which kind of brought me to where I'm going with the message today. I got to reading this article about all the things that women are encouraged to do today, you know, to be the CEO mom, to be the on-target mom, to be this kind of mom, to be, you know, work yourself to death mom, to do this and take care of your children mom, all kinds of things. And nothing's wrong with careers, and you know, hey, I get it, I understand it, but I don't think after reading Scripture and knowing what God says about moms, there is no more important and crucial place for a mom than nurturing their children. I mean, that's what God intended. That's what God's how God set this up. And I'm gonna tell you something. I mean, my wife can like read our children's brains. It's weird. She can like know what they're thinking, and I'll be like, I'll let them go. They'll ram into a wall sooner or later and learn, you know. And she can just like no, you got it. And she worries more than I do, and she frets more than I do, anyway, but I've watched her, and sometimes I even scold her. I'm like, they're grown men. They need to get their feelings hurt once in a while. You know, that kind of thing. You know, let them go. And that's tough, right? It's tough for moms to let go and let them grow. But I want to encourage you in several things today, but this being one of them. Watch your children grow, but enjoy seeing your children become adults. And the place I want to go today is if you have children in this place or are going to have children one day or have stepchildren or have adopted children, whatever, if you're going to be in that place or in living in that way and God's brought that to you, it is crucial that you be a mom like God's called a mom to be, because you are having such an impact and such an influence. And even if your children doesn't seem like it at the moment, God is still God and God is still working. He is still working. I've heard too many testimonies of grown men and grown ladies that would be in their like 50s, and that's not old. They would be in like their 50s, and God just draw them unto Himself. And they get to telling their testimony, and of course they start sharing the influences. And one of the things that you will hear in a lot of these conversations and a lot of these testimonies is something like this. My mom tried to tell me. My mom said this. My mom did that. My mom always said, she was always after me about this. And then they'll say something like this. I wished I would have listened then. So what I'm saying, no matter how many years it goes, if you do what God says to do as a mom, God will keep His promise. God will keep His promise. I believe if you honor God in your mothering, your parenting, God will honor that. So don't ever give up. So today I'm going to just very familiar story in the Bible, but I'm convinced that yes, God did everything He did in this guy's life, but He did it through his mother and his grandmother. And I just want to show you the impact and influence that these ladies had on this young man. And I talk about Paul. Paul's like my other than Jesus, of course. Paul's like my favorite guy in the Bible. Really, you watch Paul live life. I tell you what, Paul wasn't lying. You can follow Paul, and if you're following Paul, you're following Jesus. That's how closely Paul followed Jesus. But Paul was impacted by this individual. Paul was impacted by this guy. And he said something like this, that he's like my spiritual son. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's start, and we'll get this show on the road. First of all, what I want to do is, if you'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, that should be the first one, if Trey did set it up. So I hate coming in on Sunday mornings. I usually, Trey or Jason, I know they're going to get frustrated with me one morning and say, man, get organized, get your stuff together, because I change it on them every Sunday, it seems like. So 2 Timothy, verses 3 through 9. The danger of the last days. Anybody agree that we're living in dangerous days? Absolutely. Guys, if there's ever a time, there's always been a time, you should always, throughout history, should have been done. If there's ever a time to teach your children the truth and the instruction of God, it's now. It's now. We're living in dangerous days, because here's what it says, and I want to start here. You should know this. He's talking to Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Now, that describes us in our culture today, right there. That's where we are. So why would I start there on Mother's Day? What does that possibly have to do with parenting and mothering? Because it's in this realm, it's in this place, that you're going to have an impact for Almighty God. This is where your impact will be. This is what you're living in. We're not going to get away from the sludge of sin. It's in the world. Adam and Eve brought that in when they disobeyed God. And so we're not going to be out of that until God takes us home through Christ, right? So we're going to be living in this. And so why would I start there? I want to show you what happens when Paul charges Timothy. Paul knows something. I may be going backwards, but bear with me a little bit. Paul knows something in Timothy. He sees something in Timothy. And don't neglect the word seeing. I want to stress that word today, because I can tell you this. I don't care how young your kid is. People can see Jesus in that kid. I mean, people go to school, and I told you the story before. There was one young lady in our classroom. I was in first grade through 12th grade with this lady. She was in my class every single year. She was different. She stuck out like a sore thumb. She didn't tell the same jokes we told. She didn't laugh at the jokes we told. She didn't do the things we did. She would smile. She would talk to you. She was kind. She was loving, but she would never participate in the sludge. She was there, and lo and behold, I didn't know it, but her parents were pouring into her Jesus. And she was an example of who Christ was. She was first, second, third grade. She was just different all the way through school. She was clear-minded. Go figure it out. She thought differently than we did. She could see harm in things that we couldn't see harm in. And all that I contribute to her parents and her mom pouring Christ into her at a very young age. She impacted the world. Now, it was like 20-something years later, and I'm going to tell this little testimony right quick. Is over now. Gosh, we've been out of school. How long have we been out of school? 35 years? Wow. So it's longer than that. But she walked through these doors one day, and I was blown away that she walked in doors. And her name is April, and I remember seeing her, and I said, April, I got to say something to you. I hadn't seen her since like we had graduated. I said, April, I got to say something to you. I said, you were such an influence in my life. Because most of the school people that I went to school with would have never thought that God would ever use me to pastor a church. And she was like, neither did I. You know? And so I seen her, and I'm like, April, you got to know that you had influence in my life. Now, it didn't take hold, and I didn't think about it, and I didn't see it until I was 20. There was, you know, like, wow, she did. So it's funny how God will take you down memory lane once in a while. And you begin to remember those people who had influence in your life. And you don't see that when you don't know Jesus. But when you come to know Jesus, He helps you see the path that He's brought you up in your calling. And man, people are significant. He uses people to draw you unto Himself and unto Christ. So I'm like, man, from a very early age, this individual had an impact on my life. And now I realize that. And your children will have an impact on people's life. So Paul understood this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. He says, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. He said, but you, Timothy, we just got through listening to the world that he's going to live in. Timothy, you're going to be living in this world that cares about themselves alone. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now listen, this is like an unfair statement right here, right? This is something that we kind of get angry about. This is something like, you know, why is that? Why does it have to be that way? We even say, anybody ever said this any time when you're talking to God? God, this isn't fair. Anybody ever thought that God wasn't fair? I have. God, this ain't fair. Those people just totally screw up life all the time, and they're blessed. But I'm not. I got it hard. I got it difficult. But listen to what Paul's saying. He said, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus promised that. If you follow Christ, you're going to be persecuted. And I've thought about that over and over again. Sometimes I think about, because we don't experience the persecution like they do in third world countries. But there is persecution in our country, and it's becoming more and more prevalent every day. You're seeing it happen more and more every day. The persecution for Jesus' followers is in this country and in this nation. And so he says, you follow me, and it will be persecution. Listen to what he says about the other people. But evil people? All the bad people? Evil people and imposters, those, listen now, those who come into the church and say, I'm a Christian, but they don't live, they don't follow Jesus, they just want the benefit of heaven, so they warm a seat in a church and think that that's going to get them to the imposters, they will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. They're going to be deceived. For every person who ever calls the follower of Jesus a fool, pray for them people, because they're the fool. They don't catch it. Pray for their eyes to be open. Pray for them to hear God, that they will be deceived. So you got to know, Timothy had been taught. He had been taught. Kids don't learn anything if they don't get taught. Don't set them in front of a television. Me and Miss Linda was having a great conversation before service today. Don't mind just cutting off our television and reading our Bibles. It's been productive, right? It is really productive. To do it, you know, you're not going to miss anything, and I'm sure somebody will tell you what happened on whatever show you like. So anyway, it's you're not going to miss anything, but it's so pretty. Teach your children at a young age. Trey, I remember something your mom told me about at a very early age. Trey would sit around and read his Bible like for a hobby. Teach your kids to read Scripture. Teach your kids to read playtime, TV time. You know, I get it, but I wonder how my life would have been differently, and I wonder if I could process things there. I wonder if I'd be smarter than the Scriptures if I would have sat down at a very early age and began to read Scripture. You want to train your kid to do something? You want to have an impact, an eternal impact on your kid? Take everything else, sweep it out the door, and teach them. I know that's, you know, I can't do that. That'll kill them. No, it won't kill them. Teach them to read Scripture. I'm all for playtime, and I'm all for entertainment, and I get that. And that needs to be guarded heavily. But that's, you need that kind of stuff. But reading Scripture. I believe that God honors those who reads with the intentions of learning, with the sincerity and the desire to want to know God. I mean, your children, your teenagers, your kids, your babies, you know, start them early hearing Scripture. Cindy, with our boys, when they were really early, I'd come home from work and be late. And she would be in there sitting on a little stool beside of a crib reading our baby Scripture. And I'm like, he's not even 5 weeks old. But she was reading Scripture to them. And it wasn't an everyday thing. I don't want to paint a perfect picture of Cindy because y'all might think she's good and all that. But I'm just kidding. But she would. She would do these things. And if there's any good in our guys, I think that's one of the things that God honored. They were hearing the Scriptures. So do those kind of things. Paul's saying to Timothy, you know, you heard, you living in the world, this is what it's going to look like. And Timothy, you're going to have to bear down and just stake it in the ground. And brother, stand bold in what you know and what you understand and what you've been taught. Paul, Timothy had watched Paul. Some of these things, or not all of these, he said, you know the things I've been through. You know I've been persecuted. You know what's happened to me. And you know that I stand firm in Christ. Paul never wavered. He never backed up. And Timothy saw this. Timothy had learned. You learn by reading. You learn by watching. 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Look at the love here that develops between Timothy and Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Okay, there's something that happens, and I can contest this, and sometimes we battle this, don't we? There's something that happens when someone sits down with God, with Scripture, and with each other, and desires to learn. I'm going to ask the question, don't answer it, just something for you to think about. How close are we? And when I say we, I mean this body. How close are we? And we could probably go around this congregation and point fingers and say, well, you never, I never, we never, y'all never. And I get that. We messed up. We messed up people. But how close are we? And the reason I ask that question is because I look at Paul and Timothy. How close was Paul and Timothy? Paul loved this guy. I mean, Paul loved Timothy. I mean, with a brotherly love like nobody's business, Paul loved Timothy and listened to him. He said, Timothy, I thank God for you. The God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. He prayed for Timothy every day. The reason I asked that question, do we pray for each other every day? Well, Danny, it's like 25 people. Write them down if you can't remember them. Pray for each other every day. And not so that we can say, well, we pray for each other. Love each other. There's something between Timothy and Paul here that I think Jesus would like us to see. Yeah, that's a relationship that the body should have. That's the relationship. He said, this is Paul speaking. He said, I long to see you again. I want to see you. For I remember your tears as we parted, which tells me there was something very deep. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. That's the love. Paul loved this guy. And I believe it was a love that was grounded in Christ, that was anchored in Christ. Paul was watching Timothy grow and was nurturing him and watching him, you know, prosper in Christ. And Timothy was watching Paul and learning and listening. They were learning from each other. They were growing. And it was Christ right in the center. I can't help but use this kind of illustration. You know the best part of an Oreo, right? Is the cream filling. That's the best part. Okay? And I know this is a crazy, dumb illustration. But friendship is a lot like an Oreo. Two cookies on the outside and Jesus in the middle. If that cookie is by itself, it crumbles and it don't even taste good. It falls to pieces. But you stick it up against the cream and it's held together. That's what it's like. There is a friendship. There is a love. You're together. But Christ is in the center. Christ is in the center. And He's what holds you together. He's what makes it delightful. It's just an awesome thing. Know that Paul loved this guy. There was a brotherly bond between them that only comes through Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. He says, I remember, and listen to this. By the way, this is the verse you need to take home. Moms, this is just for you fathers. I'll give this one to you on Father's Day. This is just for you moms today, okay? Designed especially for you. Listen to what happened. Paul says, hey, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith. You know how you grow faith? You walk. You step out. But you know one of the things that instigates for you to be faithful is watching someone faithful. Seeing them be faithful no matter what. Paul was faithful. Timothy watched that. Timothy said, hey, there's something unique. There is Christ in that guy. So he followed. So, I remember your genuine faith. You share the faith that first filled, listen here, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Where did Timothy learn to be faithful? Where did Timothy learn to love God? Where did Timothy learn to love others? Where did Timothy learn to serve? He says, from your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Moms, we could stop right here after I say this, but I'm got just a little bit more to share with you. What are you pouring into your kids? I've said this in services before. I would rather for my child work a minimum wage job the rest of their life, yes, and have financial struggles, yes, but love Christ above all else, than to work a six-figure job, have everything the world can offer at their fingertips, and have nothing to do with Christ. Because in the end, Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. So what are you teaching your kids? What are we investing in them? What are we pouring into them? Are they going to love? This is a good question. Are they going to love Jesus like we love Jesus? How much do we love Jesus? How much do they see us love Jesus? I probably charred my kids a little bit because they ain't seen me love Jesus like I should be loving Jesus. There's been times in my life when I wasn't that example. So what are we pouring into them? Let me just add a little, a little kind of intensity to it. God gave them to you. And God didn't say, do the best you can with them. You know? God said, pour your life into them. Because one day they're going to grow up and they're going to leave home. And I'm at that age now. My three boys are up. I hadn't got them out of the house yet, and they can stay there as long as they need to. But I'm watching them in life. And you can no longer tell them what to do. You got to back out. It's a different role. It's a different role. You can suggest and you can, you know, give advice, but they're their own. They are their own. So what do you want that to look like? I read this comment when I was doing some research and said, do you want your kid to grow up and follow Jesus like you do? And one of the comments on there was, well, yeah. And the other guy was like, ooh. Do I want my children to follow Jesus like I do? And you know what he means. Are you following? Do they see that? Do they see that? Do they see me reading Scripture? Do I read Scripture to them? Do I live out Scripture in a business deal? Do I honor what God says I need to honor and do in my life? What does that look like? My temper, my way I handle situations. Children are listening and they're looking. It was Eunice and Lois that poured this into Timothy. And Paul says, they did a really, really good job at training you. 2 Timothy 3:16. He goes on to say, back over to chapter 3, after telling him, you know, what all is going to take place, he says, I want you to know something about Scripture. You know what? We could do a test here. I've told y'all about I could quote more Andy Griffith episodes than I can Scripture. That's a shame. I wonder if we did a test this morning with your children, what they could quote more of, what's more familiar to them, or what's most familiar to them. Would it be? Because I, Cindy, when we come home sometimes, she'll tell me, said, this little kid said, and parents, we love y'all. We really do. Because we are blessed on the way home. My wife would tell me, said, yeah, we were doing this or doing this illustration, and this certain kid chimed in and said, oh, Jesus is like, you know, whatever. And it's like, doggone it, they're doing good. Wish they could have taught us. Doing well. So you're pouring those things in. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I love that because that's simple as a bowl of grits. What does Scripture do? Scripture helps me recognize a wrong direction, a wrong thinking, a wrong speaking, a wrong way of living. Scripture helps me recognize that. But it doesn't leave you there. What else does Scripture do? Scripture teaches me to live it right, to do what's right, to live like Christ, to love and to cherish and to be who Christ is as He lives in me. They can see that. Scripture does that. It's very simple. You cannot read this Word with the sincerity of heart, searching after the knowledge and wisdom of God, and not be changed. This Bible has changed the hardest of hearts. I was telling some folks, I think it was in a men's group, about a guy years ago. He was in solitary confinement, and he didn't have, I mean, his childhood was horrendous. He was passed from place to place and didn't learn very good things and ended up in solitary confinement. And a lady come in one day, well, tried several times to get to see him, and they asked her, who do you need to see? She said, I don't know. I'll know when I see him. Sure, ma'am, we'll just walk you through the prison and let you take a look at all the prisoners, and you're going to know who it is. And she's like, yeah, I'll know who it is. She knew he's in solitary confinement. She goes down. She takes the Bible. She looks at this guy and sees it. That's him. That's him. And she said, I'm supposed to give this to you. He profaned at her, cursed her, just lit her up, took the Bible and throwed it across the cell. And it laid there for a few weeks open. And his testimony was, he sat on his cot and he watched that book as it was open over there to that page or whatever. Never walked over there, never seen it. I never went and looked at it. Just for a few weeks, just looked at it. When he finally went over there to look at it, I think the scripture had fell open to John 1:1. And so he picked it up and he began to read this. And in just a few weeks, when the lady came back under the instruction of God to see him, his whole attitude had changed. His testimony goes on, and I ain't got time to give it this morning, but his testimony goes on. This book led him to the salvation that comes through Christ. There was nobody in that cell with him. Just this. Just this. And a woman that was brave enough to go and follow the instruction of God to say, here, I'm supposed to give you this. That impacted the guy's life. It changed him. I think he's passed away, and if he has, he's in the kingdom. He knows Jesus. What an impact. Teach your children Scripture. Teach them Scripture. It changes us. It rights what is wrong. It right. And never, guys, let me say this to us as adults. Never get chapped or bent out of shape when God convicts you. Count that as a blessing. Isn't it awesome that God would even take the time to show us where our wrongs are and want to set us right? We need to be praying prayers like, God, bring up before me anything that's in my life that isn't pleasing to you. God, help me get to the place of repentance so that I can be like Christ. God, help me get there. Scripture gets us to that place. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. With Timothy, obviously, Timothy did good works. I've told you this before. Nothing good flows out of a human being unless Christ is in them. We can be nice. We can be polite. We can open doors for little old ladies. We can change their tires. We can do good things in the eyes of men. But true goodness flows only from God. True goodness flows only from God. Timothy had Christ in him. And Paul says, brother, it's pumping out of you like an irrigation well. I mean, it is flowing from you. I picture Timothy when I was reading these scriptures as a very humble individual who loved Jesus more than he loved himself, who loved others more than he loved himself. And Paul seen this. This is what people need to see in us, in our children. It's what our children need to see from us. Start in chapter 4. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom. Preach the Word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. By the way, I just want to stop there. Something that I'm wrestling with, maybe you need to wrestle with it too. Have you ever said the timing is never right to share the Word of God? I've been there. The timing just wasn't right. And I know God does things in His timing and listen to the Spirit. But sometimes we will use that to say, I don't want to. It didn't feel right to me. The situation was awkward. First thing you got to do is learn to love awkwardness. Make it your new best friend. Love the awkwardness. Embrace the awkwardness. Say something. He said, preach the Word of God. Be prepared whether in time whether time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Your children, moms, your children, who they're around, I can't. This is the only way I know how to put it. If you're not teaching your kids like right now, somebody's going to teach them. Somebody's going to teach them. Your kids will be taught. They will be taught the things of God, or they'll be taught opposing things of God. They'll be taught those things. So we can either teach them now, or we can let the world teach them. It's one of the reasons I want to do this garden out here. Because the garden makes it look, gives us a visual. The garden sometimes looks okay and all right, but we're going to see what happens. Same identical things planted in two different soils. We're going to see what that looks like. So teach your children. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound wholesome teaching. Guys, in my 12 short years of pastoring the church, this is becoming more and more prevalent every single day. People do not. You can sit down with someone and say, hey man, just want to talk with you about this. And they get angry. I'm not talking about the unsaved. The unsaved has a right to blow up. They have a right to get ticked off, mad, walk off, because they don't know Jesus. I'm talking about people who profess to know Jesus. They detest correction. Correction's a bad word. Well, you going to set me straight? No, I'm not. But I'm the messenger who God has sent. It's difficult sometimes to set, but he says the time is coming when these things are going to happen. They will follow their own desire and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. God loves you. God loves you. God will never forsake you. God loves you. He's going to take care of you. God would never, never, ever send you to hell. God loves you. That's a lie. God does love you. God does love you. And you need to understand that if you're His child, He's going to correct you. Moms, just to know, correct your children. Correct your children. Sometimes that goes from one end of the field to the other. I don't know what that needs to look like for you, but correct your children. Correct them biblically. Don't just say that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? Help them to see and understand. The reason I point out that something's wrong is so that you can change, because it'll be better for you. It'll be better for you. It'll benefit you. I know it's hard. I know you don't want to right now, but it will benefit you. I mean, doesn't Scripture say that God disciplines His children? Sure He does. Why does He discipline us? I mean, we go into heaven, right? We ought to just have a party. We ought to just be able to live any way we want. Why does God discipline us? Because He knows the right direction. He knows that the right direction will bring blessing and honor to Him. And it will also bless us, and it's right. And we will appreciate that. We can't see it during the middle of the correction, but coming out on the other side, you will turn around and you will say, thank you, God. My dad had an oak paddle, and some of y'all might not be okay with this, but he was. He was perfectly okay with it. But he would wear my butt out. And he said, one day, he said, you'll thank me. I'm like, right. That hurt. And the whole thing about this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's a lie when it's happening. That's what I thought. But you know what? I'm 53, or soon be 53. I could have used more. There's several more I should have gotten. But you know the unique thing about when my dad took the time to wear me out, the thing that I did and got in trouble, I never went back and redid that. Problem solved. I never went back and did that. The discipline was firm. It was even, some would say, harsh. But I've never forgot the lesson. When I discipline my boys, I discipline them the same way my dad disciplined me. There was just one thing that I changed. I would wear their bottoms out, but I'd always, when they'd try to run off from me, because it does hurt, and just so you know, it wasn't fun. I can kind of understand that it kind of breaks God's heart. But I would pick my little boys up, and I'd lay the rod of correction down. I'd pick them up and hold them in my arms. I said, it's done. It's finished. We don't need to do that anymore. And more than that, I love you. And you know, they went from squirming and wiggling to sitting there. They were okay. All my boys grew up huge beefy Macs. They ain't been hurt. But correction has to happen. And that's one form. Thinking. A wrong thinking has to be corrected. What if your kid come home or told you one day or somebody said, I'm interested in this atheism. What would you tell them? Or mom, is there more than... I was told by Judy at class or at wherever we were in park, I was told by Judy that there's other ways to God. Do we need to correct that? Darling, sit down. Sit down. Let's talk. I want to share the truth with you and why that's false. Correct your kids. You know, I think about Eunice and Lois. And Timothy was a human being, right? I bet you Timothy probably did some things that Lois and Eunice didn't appreciate and didn't like. I bet you Timothy might have got beat with a rock. I don't know. But I bet you Timothy got disciplined. I bet you he got disciplined. But what it did for Timothy is it was a guide. My dad told a story almost every time he would whip my butt. He says, it's like the little tree. You ever seen a tree that's planted? It'll lean to the left or lean to the right. He said, you got to take a string and you got to pull it this way, pull it that way, and you got to pull it that way, and you got to straighten it up. And he said, the little bark on the tree on this side, you know, it's used to leaning. And so when you stretch back, it pulls. He called it the bark, but he called it the skin of the tree. And you pull it back, he said, that stresses that skin. And said, it is a little painful. He said, but if you work with that tree and you discipline it and train it and teach it, he said, in years to come, that tree will grow strong and tall. And it will withstand the storms. Makes sense. That comes through correction. That comes through knowledge, wisdom, scripture. Teach your kids the scriptures. Let them grow strong. Because they're going to have storms. We've already seen that. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. We see that today. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Moms, if you want your children to grow up with a clear mind, teach them scripture. Teach them the truth about who God is. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Don't worry about the persecution, guys. That's going to happen. In fact, it's kind of scary when it don't. Have you ever thought to yourself, my life's flowing along pretty good? Not that I would want to get slapped in the face with something, but I wonder sometimes, you know, I've said this for years and years and years. If you ain't having the occasional head-on collision with Satan, it might mean you're traveling in the same direction he is. Because if you start following Christ, you're going to slam head on into Him time and time and time again. He's going to do everything He can to bring you down and break you and hurt you. Stay close to God. Trust God. Your purpose as moms are so vital. You know this, and I don't know how y'all's house work, but my wife could kind of get through to our kids better than I could. Moms just have a knack for getting through. You know, dad sometimes will try his very best to make sense. And sometimes it works. Sometimes, but a mom can sit down and seem to make sense of things. So invest in your kids. Proverbs 22:6. Love this verse. Direct your children onto the right path. This is the path. Direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Some of us might be sitting here this morning and say, yeah, right. They may be in the 50s. Hey, the guy I was telling you about that was in solitary confinement, you wouldn't want that for your children, I know, but he was in his 60s. Somebody invested in his life. What if the lady would have never been obedient to God and would not have took the Bible there that day? I mean, I'm just thinking. But he knows Christ because somebody had an impact. Because they love Jesus more than they love themselves. Moms are unconditional loving, right? I mean, I tell my wife all the time, her kid will have a problem, I said, let him struggle. He needs to. He needs to struggle. It's good for him. Did you not remember when me and you got married eating beanie weenies? We would rather have steak. Is it ramen noodles again? You know, you remember that? And my dad say, you the man. That's what he'd tell me. You the man. I think your uncle's working some extra jobs this week. You can go work with him, make you some extra money, buy some extra groceries. Really, Dad? All my dad, you'd hold your hand out like that for my dad. My dad go, you go get it. You go earn it. Make them earn it. If you don't, there's going to come a time when you can't or you're gone and they won't know how. They won't know how. I know it seems loving to package and give your children the things to make of their life. But guys, one of the best things you can do, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Is to let your children struggle. Be there with this. Be there with this. Help them to understand this. Help them to, here's a thought. Just came to me. This is really good. Y'all want to listen to this thought? Help them to depend on God more than they depend on you. Because you'll fail them. You're human. You can fail them. Help them to depend on God. When their groceries is low and they're down to their last bag of ramen noodles, tell them, pray. Pray. Seek God. Trust God. God will not fail them. They may think He's going to fail them, but He won't. He won't. We got this definition of tough that we think of like, I mean, that's really tough. And God said, you don't have no idea what tough can be. I'll show you tough. Just depend on me. So, train up your child. Put them on, direct them to the right path. Teach them to love God more than you and anything else in this world. Guys, education's awesome. And you know, teach your kids, train your kids, and all that. But any time that we push our kids in the educational field above knowing God, there's a problem. But Danny, they're not going to be able to succeed in this world. You know what? This world's temporary. This world's going to pass by. I want to prepare children, or at least my children, and God's given me a chance to do that somewhat even today, but I want to prepare my children for the kingdom of God, not for the CEO of some big company. I want to prepare my kids to love God more than anything else. Shine the light. Make them light shiners. Philippians 2. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. If you know Jesus, these are really cheesy, cheesy things, but Jesus inside of you is like a light being inside of you. Turn your light on, you know? Let Jesus be seen in you. Let it be seen through, you know, do you appreciate your salvation? Do you thank God for what He's done? Live that. Show that. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Don't change it yet. Back up. Back up to verse 14. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without... Oh, that was pitiful. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Got that? Verse 14. All right? so that one can so that no one can criticize you. Live clean. Live clean. Innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Take God's word. Use it. Apply it. Shine it. You know, let me talk with the Christian kids just for a second. You're going to be weird. Celebrate the weirdness. Yeah, celebrate the weirdness. You got something that kids out in the world are craving for and they don't even know it. They don't even realize it. You can be the light. Parents, teach your kids to be the light. Teach them to love unsaved people. Teach them to have the heart to want to see them to know Christ. Teach them to be little conversation starters. You're in the grocery store and your 10-year-old tell you, Mom, I'll be right to the car, but this guy's, we're talking about Jesus. Be there in a little bit. We'll come back and pick you up. I don't know. But teach them to love people. Teach them to talk with people. Invest in people. Moms, I can't even describe how important your job is to invest in your children, the things of God. You are making the next adults or training the next adults. If you're sitting here and you don't have kids and you deal with kids, hey, adopt them. Adopt them. I mean, maybe not necessarily by paper, but love them. Adopt them. Let them see Christ in you. So, I would end like this. First, pray for your children. Pray for your kids. That's where it all starts. Pray for the wisdom that they need to be given. Pray for the guidance they need to be given. Pray that God give you strength to do that on a daily basis. Encourage them. Remove the things of the world that needs to be removed. Just remove the things of the world. Teach them to love God more than anything else in life. I can't say that enough. Man, my mom and dad drug me to church probably the day after I was born. I don't know. They drug me to church and I never was explained. All I knew is we were supposed to go to church. And isn't this funny? Isn't this real funny? After I got up, before I even knew Christ, I knew I was supposed to go to church. That's just weird. Think about that for a second. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't have a relationship with God, but I felt like I had to go to church. Why did I feel like I had to go to church? Because I watched my parents go to church. I learned something. Like, okay, I can't describe it, but I'm supposed to be in church. And they did that well. They taught me how to go to church and being part of a body. That's a good thing. For years, I couldn't get away from, remember the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? My dad would, you would get spanked if you didn't sit still during this and watch this movie. You sat there and watched that every year. Jesus of Nazareth. Remember that one? You sat still. You couldn't go to the bathroom. You couldn't ask for nothing to drink. You sat still and you watched the movie. And for years, that was like every Easter that came along, I was like, I can't not watch it. It was taught. All I'm saying is, as much as those were taught for me to follow, this is much more important right here. A movie doesn't do this justice at all. Teach your kids Scripture. Moms, continue to love them with that unconditional love. Because I'll be honest with you, when the rest of the world don't love them, you will. And there's going to be people in the world that don't love them. Am I right? You love them. They're going to need to see that. You are like Almost, I would like the first picture of Jesus in their life. You love them unconditionally. So, I wish you a happy Mother's Day. Now, in ending, we got a Mother's Day gift for every one of our ladies. Actually, every one of our ladies in here. We want to hand you this book. I didn't bring any roses today. We just don't do that. So, if you're disappointed, Walmart's got roses. You can go buy you one. But we want to give you a book. And I read the insert and stuff, so I hadn't read the entire book, but I did what I read. I hope that this will stir. I had to say that right. Stir you up to Scripture. I hope that these ladies, it's like five or six ladies, just going to give some testimonials, and it will take you to Scripture and encourage you to be in the Word of God, and also just help you to think about some things. Okay, so, you know, could I change things here and be parenting better as far as teaching my kid the Word of God? Set some time aside. So on the way out, in fact, Jeremy, can I put you in charge of handing these out as people go out? Because you're the one that set up the little book thing over there. You did a good job, by the way. Awesome. So if you women, I see Jeremy, you can't miss him. He's the handsome guy over here to my right. Matt, you too. In fact, Matt, anyway. So guys, get you one of these this morning. I want to just pray for our moms and close in prayer. And thank you for being moms. You're difference makers. And let God use you every day for that. So let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for creating moms. God, I thank you for what you do in them and through them. God, there's something that you have placed in the heart of a woman that you bring to mother children. God, there's something that they have for kids, and I know it has to come from you. So God, I pray that you would grow that within them. God, that desire to be mentors. God, even if it's not their kid, God, just to be an example of Christ, that unconditional love, that unconditional caring, God, with the children in their life and the kids that they are around. God, you made women in a way that can help us see who you are. So, Father, I ask your blessing upon the moms in this place, upon the women in this place. God, I pray that you watch over them, keep them, and protect them. God, that you'll continue to grow them. God, I thank you for this body. I pray that you continue to stretch us and grow us. God, that we will love each other, care for each other. And God, we will receive discipline and instruction from you with a glad heart, with an anxious heart to be where you want us to be. And so, Father, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for loving us and taking care of us. All praise and honor and glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.